Amen. Open. Open our heart, open our ears, and open our eyes. Oh, how desperately we need him to work. Amen? Well, won't you take your Bible and turn to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Look in 14:12. This will be a verse that sounds familiar to you, I know. But I think it's a verse that helps us in those times where you've asked before, how do people get through or go through things without the Lord? You ever asked that question? You know how going through difficulties in life with the Lord is still a challenge. But then you say, I don't know how people do it. I don't know how people go through loss. I don't know how they go through separation. I don't know how they go through death. I don't know how they go through the seasons when your children rebel. How do they do that? How do they go through those things without the Lord? Well, this is one of those verses, I believe, that helps us understand why they're able to do what they do. The scripture says that there is a way that just seems that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that just seems right to him. We were all like that at one point in time. I know I was. There was just things that seemed right to me. And when this implies, when you read a statement like that, it also gives implication that if there's a way that seems right, there's also ways that don't seem right. And you see, ways that don't seem right to them are ways that we should be operating in as the believer, as the righteous. You know, the path of the righteous leads to life. The labor of the righteous leads to life. Everything about the righteous person that's in right relationship with the Lord, everything about them leads to life because they are being led of the Lord, and they are following after Jesus, as Proverbs 11:30 says, that the righteous are like a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. And the righteous, those who are right with God, following God's ways, belong to him, been made new creatures in Christ, that way doesn't seem right to the people that are actually not following after that. But that which seems right to them is only leading them in the past toward death. But it seems right to them. So if it seems right to them, that would also have to imply that if it seems right, that means that there's a false sense of peace that they possess. Because you can't have peace and not think something's right. You see, when we don't have peace, it's because we think something's wrong, something's not right, and we get out of line, if I'm not mistaken. You know what I mean. If you've ever been involved in something, done something you know is not the right thing, and it disturbs your spirit, you know that, you're not at peace with it, but you still do it for whatever reason, but you're not at peace in doing it. You have no joy in doing it. You're in turmoil and conflict in what you do. So if something seems right, that would mean that they have to have a sense of peace, a sense of joy, a sense of gladness with it. All those things apply because it seems right to them. The problem with is that peace and that joy they experience, that happiness that they have, that gladness, it's all temporal. Don't have any lasting effect to it. And they can go from one thing to the other, and one thing from the other that just gives them enough peace to get to the next thing, enough hope to get to the next thing, enough gladness to get to the next journey or phase in life, and they just keep going down that path. But the problem is that path their own only leads in the end to death. So the things that they're experiencing that's a reality to them is actually falsehood and deceit. Their eyes hadn't been opened. Like the song, open our eyes, Lord, open our ears, open our heart. and plant something in it so that we can see like you. That's the value of having God put his knowledge in us and his fear in us so that we see things how he sees them. And when we see him how he sees them, things become clearer for us. And when we're going contrary to him, yes, our spirit's in turmoil. Our spirit, we don't have that expectation of hope in this because we know we're heading down the wrong way because he's opened our eyes to see it. But those whose eyes have not been opened to see it, they find a way that connects with their spirit and their nature, and it gives them hope. Gives them peace, gives them joy, gives them comfort when they lose a family member. They find a way for comfort. But it's not actually comfort that comes from the Lord. It's not that God is favoring them and guiding them and they're giving glory to him. They find comfort in other things, things that they've created on their own, things they've read, things they've watched other people do. And it is a hope for them. It is peace to them. It is comfort for them. It does produce gladness for them. And they keep putting one foot in front of the other and one foot in front of the other. The only problem is it's leading toward death. And that's why they can go through the things they go through. That passage answers that for us. It seems right. It just seems right. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it's the way thereof of death. And I want to tell you, that's got to be the ultimate deception, isn't it? And you think about that. How deceived we can literally be in the fact that it seems so right in the way that other people are living who try to step in and help me and point other things to me, godly things to me, that seems so foreign and so not right to me that I stick with what I know and what I'm doing and I keep pushing that out because this just feels right. It seems right because I have all that I need. I can get through this. Hey, I know you know what I'm talking about because we work among, we live among, we're around so many people that are in that position. It just seems right to them. But it's the way thereof of death. Now what we need is to be able to have, one, eyes to recognize that they fit in what they're doing. And it's they're comfortable in that. And they like where they are. They don't like where you are. They don't want nothing to do with where you are. They like some aspects about where we are. But they don't want what we have. It seems right where they are. That's why they stay where they are. We can see that. So now we ask God to give us that compassion to pray for them, to intervene when God gives us the right time, using prudence, using discretion to be able to step in when God leads us to be able to do what, as you've heard me say before, interrupt them on that crash course with hell. Amen. To interrupt them. That God uses us to do that because to interrupt them means that what the direction they're going, what seems right now, won't seem right after God's intervention, after God interrupts and he begins to invade them with his grace and expose a whole nother dynamic of living for his glory. And we're the instruments that he uses to do that. We're the instruments that help break up the way people think and the direction they're going to interrupt them and God invade them with his grace by exposing the truth to them lovingly, kindly, compassionately, gently, or at times even abruptly or boldly. It depends on how the Lord would lead at the particular time. We just need to be sensitive to his spirit and walk in that prudence of wisdom. Amen? But that's why. That's a good passage. There's another passage that says the same thing. I believe it's over in chapter 16. Look in 16:25. Anytime you find where the scriptures specifically use certain phrases more, I mean, one time's enough, but when it says it twice the same way, it's saying pay attention to this. You know, give attention to it. Because you know Proverbs is chock-a-block full with principles. but it don't use many of them where it reiterates it twice in the same exact way. And this is one of those verses that it does that in 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So remember, that has to imply, if that way seems right, the right way must seem wrong. And that's why people don't jump on board and run the race with us. It don't seem right to them. Because what seems right to them is right where they're at. And even though they don't have all the answers to right where they're at, they searching just like you've been in the search. But they just searching in the wrong places. Because it seems right to them to search there. And they do have, I had peace when I was lost. Yeah. People that tell you that they don't have any peace, they forget where they were at. How many years did you walk in your lostness and you had peace about your life? You had hopes and dreams, and you found gladness in things. The scripture, you had fun. You enjoyed what you were doing. It seemed right to you, right? Well, they do too. And we've got to recognize that they are at peace with where they are until something confronts that way of thinking and God sheds light on that way of thinking and exposes it as wrong, as darkness. And it's only then that you see them turn to the light and God rescue, interrupt, invade, pull out, rescue them from where they are. We just got to be able to recognize the difference in who we're dealing with and what's happening in their life. Amen? For an example, let's see, I think it's in 15. Look in chapter 15. It says something about folly being joy to a fool. Y'all help me find that. 14 where? Yeah, I think it's in 15. 15:21, what does it say? Read it back there. Folly is joy to him who walketh destitute of discernment. It seems right to him. That's why it's joy to him. It fits with who he is or who she is. It's in their nature, and it seems right. Look in 13:19. Let's see what it says. says, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from what? An abomination is something that is detestable, something that is hated, something that is utterly unwanted. And he's saying that it is a fool finds leaving his evil, his foolishness, that's what he's doing, is something to be hated and despised. Why in the world will I leave this? I like it. I won't leave it. It's an abomination to them. Why? Because what they're doing seems right. It seems right to them. The problem is, it's not right, but they are deceived. They don't know what causes them to stumble. That's where we say a prudent man, what does he do? He considers well his steps. He don't believe every single word that somebody says. He considers well his steps, whereas the fool or the wicked, however we describe them, those who are not right with God, they look at things that we're doing as something totally unwanted, something totally hated. And they'll use phrases like this. I don't have a problem with God. I just have a problem with God's people. I don't want nothing to do with them. Oh, I like God. Because, see, it seems right to them to think of a God how they would want him to be, or who they think he is, or who a culture says he is. That fits good with them because it seems right to them. And they find peace in that. And when we argue with them to tell them that they don't have peace, they think, man, you sure, you think I'm the fool. You're the fool. I'm good with where I am. You're not good with where I am, but I'm good where I am. I'm okay where I'm living because it seems right. But we, on the other hand, recognize the difference and have to also ask God to use us. Because look in Proverbs 24. Before we go, 24:12, which we're coming to this, we'll read it again. 24:11 says, deliver those who are what? Taken away or drawn toward death. Why are they drawn or taken away? It seems right to them. They don't know they're on the path of death. And hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he, that would be God, who weighs the hearts, consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? See, we have an obligation, don't we? To pay attention to what people seem to think what is right. Even when it's wrong, we recognize that they draw them toward this wrong. They're taken by it. They like it. It seems right to them. They find comfort in it. We got to recognize that so that we can be a tool that can what? Stand in the gap. Amen? And try to help them. And also not take it personal when they don't like the way that we think, do, live, or act, because their way seems right to them, our way seems wrong. We just need to recognize that. Because it's when I start taking things personal is when I start getting angry with people. You ever get angry at people? You ever let people get to you? Because you take things personal. When you take things personal, you go on personal defense. And remember that the unrighteousness of men never works the righteousness of God. So that's important. That I can't be effective if I'm personally trying to defend me and what I believe to be right, rather than recognizing that these people are in deceit, they're deceived. I don't even have to necessarily tell them. I just need to know that. Amen. They don't think they're deceived. They think we are the ones deceived. Are you with me? We're the nuts here. We're the ones who've been taken and are in trouble and live in this sheltered, restricted way of living and these things. And they think we the ones who are the fanatic problems. So when you tell them they the ones to deceive, that ain't going to be how you win them over. You just love on them and give them the right direction, whether they take it or not, and you just keep loving on them, whether they like it or not, and you just keep loving on them because you have a heart for them. And when you have a heart for them and not to protect yourself, no matter how they treat you, you won't respond back in an evil way. That's where the scripture said, don't let anyone render evil to evil. You know, you respond back to them graciously, and God will use it to magnify his name. Because what you love, what you like, what you care for, what your heart is, that don't seem right to them. If it did, they'd already be with you. Amen? Amen. But they don't. So we see that. And it just helps us dealing with people and being a blessing to them. Exercising that fruit of wisdom. Why? Because God's given us a fear not only to honor him, but how to see things the way he sees things. But also he's given us the knowledge that he has about people. And I'm sure thankful he wasn't threatened by me when I was in my sin. Amen. And he didn't treat me in a way that he took a defense before me. He just laid out the truth before me and offered it to me. And praise God, empowered me to respond to it. And he wasn't threatened, and I wasn't threatened by him. Amen. He wooed me and loved me into the kingdom by showing what he done for me in Christ. And anytime we get on the defensive, we're not going to work the grace of God in and through our lives, because we've done taking it personal. We made it about us, and it ain't about us. Amen? Amen. And when we make things about us, we're automatically getting in trouble. But when we make it about him and what he's accomplished, what he's done, we don't take threats and get offended by what people say and do toward us. To him be the praise. Amen. Anybody else have anything before we go? Anything you want to add? Flaunts is folly. Yeah. And to act with knowledge means that he's going to also use discretion. He doesn't have to go out and prove himself to everybody around him that he's right. He's okay, because his contentment is not in do they recognize me as being right, but I'm doing what is right because it's the right thing to do, and I'm going to honor the Lord, whether they respond positively to me or not. But the fool, on the other hand, is going to flaunt his folly. He finds joy in that. That's why the New Testament used words like this, that the people of the world are more shrewd than the sons of the light. You get over in their territory and you start battling with their means and flaunting arrogance, pride, you're not going to win. They're going to mock you, and you deservedly to be mocked. That's where the scriptures talk about Christ, and when he was reviled, he didn't revile back. But he laid his life down. You know, and he's our example in that, is that when they mocked him and spit at him and misused him and misunderstood him, he didn't go on the defensive, amen. He just did what the Father led him to do. He did what was right, loved people, and laid his life down for them. But fools, on the other hand, it seems right to them to flaunt their folly, to say things that they want everybody to know that they're not going to take any bull from nobody. They love to let everybody know that. That they don't give a flip about this or that. That's a fool, right? So you understand, I'm dealing with a fool. I don't want to get in a battle match with a fool and compete on their terms, because when I do that, I'm operating in a realm that God resists. And what I need is him to work for me and give me more grace, not to work against me. He gives more grace to who? But he resisteth the who? When we start operating in pride ourselves, then we are actually in battle against what God's doing rather than fighting for him or with him. So it's just, that's where Proverbs comes in and helps us so much to see these things, that they flaunt their folly, and if you was to tell them they needed to quit doing that or not to do that, they would think that would be an utter abomination to stop living that way or thinking that way. And who are you to have the right to tell them that anyway? It's just what you're dealing with, all right? Don't cast your pearls before. Or your, what does it say about the dogs? Don't cast your pearls before the swine, and what? Dogs will return to their vomit, but the idea is that they cannot evaluate what is the value of what you just gave them. You put silk before a hog, he's going to walk over it as if it was tree limbs. It don't matter to him. He can't determine the value of what you just gave away. You put a $100 bill in front of a hog, what is he going to do? Or a goat, they're going to eat it, right? He's going to eat it. They can't reason, value, and estimate things of worth. And when you give that which is of value and worth to the hogs or the dogs, they're just going to eat you up and consume you with it. And they are more worldly wise than we are in how to deal with those things. Really. We just got to, sometimes we got to learn those lessons the hard way. Because we determine we're going to fight them and we're going to get them. And before you know it, we the ones who look like the fool in the midst of it. Have you ever? We all have. Father, we thank you tonight, bless you, and give you glory.